All right, Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. I did text last week, or maybe it would have been last week, and gave you a passage to read. That was Genesis 45, verse 16, all the way through chapter 46, verse 28. The reason I did that is that this covers my main subject for today. And what's covered in that passage is this. Pharaoh finds out that Joseph's brethren had come to Egypt, and Joseph had united himself again to his brothers. Okay? And Pharaoh then gives a command to do something. And because Pharaoh is Pharaoh, the command will be carried out.
Amen.
The command was this: hitch up the wagons. And there was a hitch up the wagons. And we find the wagons mentioned three times throughout this section. And they're mentioned in light of this. The wagons were sent from Egypt to Canaan. Got the recipients of this great blessing all gathered up. And then the wagons took them all the way back to Egypt.
Amen.
Now, that's the context of my message this morning. Before I give you an actual text, I actually have three. I want to give you two things to consider, actually three things to consider, by way of introduction. Remember, Pharaoh and Joseph were like one.
Yes, sir.
This Pharaoh loved Joseph.
Yes, sir.
And this Joseph loved this Pharaoh. Now, just one lesson for us. Let us never think that everyone outside the camp is overtly against us.
Yeah.
Right.
Let us be careful.
Right.
Earl was right. There is a naked savage behind every tree, waiting to stick you in the back. But not every naked savage is going to be overtly against you. Our God controls everyone in this universe. And not all are overtly opposed to God's people. That's the first consideration. Number two, you'll see this manifested or spoken of in chapter 46, verses 1 through 4. Those who know God always see worship as first.
Yes.
Remember, Jacob is told, here's the command. Pharaoh says, gather it all up. Come to me in Egypt. What's the first thing Israel does? Goes to Beersheba and offers sacrifice unto the God of his father Isaac.
Amen.
You see, those who truly worship God worship him specifically.
Yes, sir.
There's a specific God they worship.
Exactly.
It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it's even more specific than that. Think of it. On that day, remember, I think, was it Peter and James or Peter and John? There's a blind man there, and he asked for silver and gold. And silver and gold have I none, Peter said. But what I do give you, I give you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it caused a big uproar.
Yes,
and when Peter was called in question, he could have answered, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did this.
Yes, sir.
And he'd been speaking exactly the truth.
Amen.
But he'd been skirting the truth at the same time.
Yeah.
Because he said, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God has done this thing.
Amen.
You see, Jacob, or that is Israel, worshipped in a specific way. He worshipped with a mind of substitution and satisfaction. He offered up sacrifice unto God.
Amen.
I know the salvation of God, we can't try to pinpoint it as to a certain point in time. Modern day religion tries to pinpoint it as a certain date in time. The time when you walked the aisle, prayed the prayer, gave your heart to the Lord. Do you understand what I'm talking about? God's salvation began in Christ before the world began.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. No one can really ever have the assurance that God Almighty has saved them till they begin to learn a little bit about substitution and satisfaction.
Amen.
That's when God will really begin to give you a little bit of assurance.
Yes, sir.
You remember the one blind man that Christ healed and he could, how do I put it? He could barely see.
Yeah.
He could see men like trees walking around.
Yeah.
And he fell into some trouble because he'd been healed.
Yeah.
He'd done nothing wrong. They kicked him out of the synagogue. Started questioning his parents. But let me tell you, Christ didn't leave him there.
Amen.
Did he? He came back to him while David Wright still had that fuzzy vision. And he said, do you know the Christ of God? He said, well, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? He said, it's the one that's speaking to you. The one that you're looking at with those fuzzy eyes. And he began to see everything in a whole different light. Whether he could see very well, Mason, with these physical eyes, didn't matter anymore.
Exactly.
You see, I'm telling you, if you're truly worshiping God, you're worshiping God in Christ concerning Him as your substitute and Him as your satisfaction before God. And I have every reason to believe Israel understood some of that.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure his father and grandfather had passed down the truth that had been passed down to them about their parents, Adam and Eve, and then about their two boys.
Yeah.
And two offerings were made. Like two offerings.
Yeah.
Cain offered sacrifice to God.
Yes,
he believed in God.
Yeah.
He was trying back to honor God. He offered the sacrifice to God, but God wouldn't have it. Because it wasn't about substitution and satisfaction. Abel's was because it was the fat of the firstling of the flock.
Amen.
It was in light of that seed that would come to crush the serpent's head. And God received that man and his sacrifice.
Amen.
But here's the third thing by way of introduction. And oh, God help us to get a hold of this one. Natural ancestry never dictates God's mercy.
Amen.
Chapter 46, verse 8, look at the first part. And these are the names of the children of Israel. And you begin to hear of them referred to this way, especially when you get into Exodus, Numbers, the children of Israel. And sometimes they're even called Israel itself.
Yes, sir.
It may not even be speaking of the man Jacob, but of his descendants, and they're called Israel. Right? We can see that. But I want you to compare chapter 46 and verse 10. And the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, and Jamin, and Ohad, and Jachin, and Zohar, and Sheul, the son of a Canaanitish woman. Do you see it read right there? The son of a Canaanitish woman. Not only that, look at verse 20. Look at what it says. And unto Joseph in the land of Egypt were born, Manasseh and Ephraim.
Yes, sir.
Two of the tribes of Israel.
Yes, sir.
Correct?
Yeah.
Two of the tribes of Israel. They would later be known as Israel itself. If you spoke of Israel, these two young boys were included in that. But look at what it says. Which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. This was an Egyptian woman.
That's right.
Do you see it?
Amen.
What am I talking about? Preacher, what are you talking about? Consider this. Even natural Jewishness, and even more importantly, or a stronger word, even being an Israelite was always determined by the father, not by the mother. Throughout this, once Israel comes on the scene, that's Jacob, whose name's changed to Israel.
Yes, sir.
Okay? The ancestry of being Israelite depends solely on who the daddy is. It had nothing to do with the woman. Come on down the line and see another one. What was that woman's name? Jericho? Rahab. And she was both an outsider and a whore. Come on down the line. You hear the name one? Ruth. A Moabitess. Born and raised in idolatry. Right? Now God Almighty saved that woman. But here's the whole point. Even natural Jewishness, even being a natural Israelite, always depends on the daddy.
There you go.
Now, does that ring a bell to you?
There you go.
He came into the world, and the world received, came his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as, that means every single one of them.
Yes, sir.
I am a universalist in that sense. I'm going to use that word some more. I am a universalist in that sense. And to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. And what does it matter? The only thing that matters is the daddy. God. You see it? God. And then we actually come into the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul actually says it. And God, thank you, God. Just a few years ago, I really began to get a hold of this. Now listen to me. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. And you better run from dispensationalism right here. Dispensationalism says, yes, that's true, but it's only true for the church age. It wasn't true prior to the church age, and it won't be true after the church age is over. That is a lie.
You're right.
Amen.
That is a lie. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. And circumcision is not that which is in the flesh.
Exactly.
What's it have to do with? Who is a Jew?
Yeah.
Who is a real Israelite? Who's a Hebrew? One that's been circumcised in heart by God.
Amen.
That's where we must stand.
Yes, sir.
And that's not dispensationalism. Paul, even Galatians, says, I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I don't care if you're a Jew or a Greek. I don't care if you're male or rich or poor, bond or free.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ,
yeah,
you are the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
So if our doctrine begins to go astray from that, then we're the ones that's astray.
Exactly.
Not the truth of God. So remember those three things. You see, with this consistent truth, and it's always been the consistent truth.
Yes, sir.
Salvation depends on our daddy. And somebody says, that's so irreverent. No, it's not. The book says the Spirit of God is sent into his people's heart, and we cry, Daddy! Papa! Father.
Father.
You see, if you don't know God as your daddy yet, you don't know God yet.
Right. Exactly.
It's not a formal relationship.
No.
It's an intimate, personal relationship.
Amen. That's right.
Mm-hmm. So with this consistent truth, let's now engage my main subject. Chapter 45, verse 16. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house. What's that? That the brothers had been reunited. More importantly, Joseph had reunited himself to his brethren. Because remember, they weren't seeking this. This was God doing this.
Yes, sir.
And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. Isn't it amazing when God Almighty in sovereign power and providence just manifestly just blesses his people right in front of everybody.
Yes, sir.
And it's not just, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Some few people around become happy. They might even know really all the details of what's going on here.
There you go.
But God Almighty's in charge, folks.
Amen.
Let us rejoice in those times. Because, remember, there will come a time when another Pharaoh will arise that don't know Joseph.
Amen.
There will.
Oh, yeah.
But when the Pharaoh that knows Joseph is around, thank God for it.
Amen.
Bask in it. You know, be grateful for it. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye. Laid your beasts and go. Get you unto the land of Canaan and take your father and your households and come unto me. And I will give you the good of the land of Egypt and you shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded.
Amen.
This do ye. Take you wagons. You see that?
Amen.
Take you wagons. And you know the rest of the context. But then go on down, verse 25. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive and he's governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, you see that? When he saw the wagons. And then look at this, chapter 46 and verse 5. Jacob rose up from Beersheba. The sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, their little ones, and their wives in the wagons, which Pharaoh had sent to carry him.
Amen.
How many wagons were there?
There you go.
Did you read the context?
Yeah.
Did you really read it? I ask you if you read it. Did you read the context? How many wagons were there? Whose wagons were there? Well, it says Pharaoh sent them. It says Joseph sent them.
There you go.
Does it not? Did you read it?
Oh, yeah.
How many wagons were there? Well, I can tell you how many wagons there were. Enough. You see, we are so analytical in our day. Our brains are so swelled with thinking that we're so apt at taking in knowledge. We think we can take in the knowledge of God like this too. Like we do with math and science and all these things. I don't have to know the exact number. All Jacob needed to know was what? It's enough. Bless God, it's enough. And his spirit was revived in him. And he said, boys, we're heading down to Egypt.
Amen.
Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
And somebody said, well, preacher, sounds like this is the same message you preached last Sunday. Yes, it is, because I'm talking about the same God.
Amen.
The same Christ and the same people that Christ was sent to save.
Amen.
So, let's consider the wagons in three specific ways. And of course, I think it's probably evident enough that the title of my message is Pharaoh and Joseph's Wagons. That's what they were. They were Pharaoh's and Joseph's wagons. Because it says, and when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent. Wait a minute, I thought Pharaoh sent them.
Mm-hmm.
He did. Well, wait a minute, Joseph sent them. He did. So let's consider the wagons in three specific ways. Now don't think just because I said three, this is going to be short. Three is just a number. First of all, whose wagons were they? Were they really Pharaoh's or Joseph's? Have you read this? You know whose wagons they were? Pharaoh and Joseph's.
Amen.
Pharaoh and Joseph's. But I thought Pharaoh commanded them to be sent. He did.
Yes, he did.
I thought Joseph commanded them to be sent. He did.
Amen.
What's this tell us? Our Lord Jesus Christ said these words.
Yeah.
And you're familiar with them, I'm sure, but I will read them one more time. This is in John 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Amen.
In other words, I'm going to send the wagons out after them.
That's exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Mac, there will be enough wagons. That's all there's got to be, is enough wagons. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, wait a minute. These were sheep herders. They were shepherds. And shepherds are an abomination to the Egyptians. Let me tell you something. God will even make your enemies to be at peace with you if that's what his purpose entails for the moment.
Amen.
And they'll give you the land of Goshen if need be.
That's right.
Now that's maybe next week's message, but maybe not. Don't hold me to that one. But do you see what he's saying? And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Four, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now this doesn't mean he had a will separate from the Father's, but that his will was what? One.
Amen.
With the Father's.
Exactly.
You see, Pharaoh's will and Joseph's will was what? Both the same. Joyous occasion.
That's right.
Get him down here. Do what it takes to bring them into the place of safety where they can live off the what? The fatness of the land.
Amen.
Number two. That one was quick. Didn't take long. What? 3 minutes. Here's the second. Something other than self will have to get us where we need to be. The wagons.
There you go. Yes, sir.
You see, Pharaoh didn't say, well, now, Joseph, send word back to you, Daddy. All them little ones, all those herds, and the send word back, and if they can get here,
yeah,
if they can make it down here,
yeah.
Look what's all there. I offer all this to them. Does this ring a bell? Anybody? All this is there for them if they'll just will and do of my good pleasure and make it to Egypt. Everything will be all right. Is that what took place? Bless God. Pharaoh and Joseph said, get the wagons, boys.
Amen.
I command you, go get the wagons. Take the wagons all the way to Canaan land. Gather up all that's necessary and bring it all the way back to Egypt.
That's right.
Is that not what this teaches?
Amen.
Does that ring a bell to anybody?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to give you a passage because I could spend a lot of time here. But from election all the way to glorification, final, ultimate glorification, it's all, always, of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And not us.
Amen.
He is the wagons.
Amen.
He is the wagons.
Yes,
because He's not just one thing. Joe, He ain't just one wagon.
Exactly.
He's enough wagons.
Amen.
He's enough wagons.
Yes,
how many wagons does it take?
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah.
Now, Joseph knew how many people there were because Joseph had been inquiring of his brothers who all was still living and what was going on. Do you remember that?
Yes, sir.
So Joseph said, all right, here's the number.
There you go.
Here's what we got. Here's what it's going to take. You see it?
Wait.
We're not told the numbers. We're just told it's what? Enough.
Amen.
Enough. Somebody said, I don't know what you're talking about. I pray God one day you do.
There you go.
I pray God one day you do. But from election, and forgive me if I miss them, but from election to blood redemption, to regeneration by the Spirit, to conversion by the preaching of the gospel, to being God working in us both to will and do of His good pleasure.
Yes, sir.
And from falling dead on our face and our breath going from us and our bodies going back to corruption, or whether we're alive when the Lord comes back and we're either raised from the dead or transformed when He returns. All the way back to glorification. It's all of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I used to hear years ago, well, we believe in election. We just believe in Bible election.
Yeah.
Now, that was the phrase I used to hear. And I thought, okay, why did the Bible need to be elected?
Exactly.
I was dumb. I was being misled by others who, some probably was dumb as I, and others weren't quite so dumb. You see, they used to say, well, election is God looked into the future and seeing you would believe and He chose you. That is not the way the book presents it at all. It says it chose us in Christ before the world began, not in ourselves.
Amen.
It never says God looked ahead to see what we would do.
Amen. You're right.
God did look down upon us. And you know what He said about us when He did?
Yeah.
There's not one of you righteous.
That's exactly right.
There's not one of you that's good. There's not one of you that seeks after God.
Amen.
Your mouths are an open sepulchre.
Amen.
There is no fear of God before your eyes. That's what God's seen in us, Roy Jr. Oh, aren't you glad Pharaoh commanded the wagons to be sent?
Yes, sir.
And Joseph said, I'm behind this 100%.
Amen. That's right.
Now, Pharaoh, here's how many we need.
Uh-huh.
Here's how many, right here's enough. Now, here it is. And the wagons march out. And the wagons march out. in the wagons keep marching on till they get all the way to where the people were. And guess what they do? They load up the wagons and they head back to Egypt. Such a glorious thing was this that when Jacob died, did you know that there was a great massive funeral procession that went all the way from Egypt, all the way, an Egyptian funeral procession that went all the way back to Canaan land just to do what? Bury Jacob. Isn't that glorious? So again I say, something other than ourself is going to have to get us to where we need to be. Whatever your need is at any given moment in time, Christ alone is going to be the only way you get there.
Amen.
Here's number three. I done asked the question, and I kind of meant to do it so it was no big surprise. I'm not trying to look cute or whatever. How many wagons were there? Well, we know the wagons weren't for some. Because according to chapter 46, the first part of verse 12, there was at least two old boys that were already dead by this time. Ur and Onan. Mason, there wasn't no need for wagons for them. Was there? I asked a fellow one time, I said, who do you believe Jesus Christ died for? He said, everybody. I knew what he meant. He knew what he meant. I said, do you believe he died for people who were already in hell when he came to this world and died? And he actually said, well, no. That's a good answer.
That's right.
That's a good answer. It's just the man's totally confused because he'd probably been lied to all his life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
All you need is enough wagons.
Amen.
If they're Pharaoh and Joseph's wagons, Joe, they're sufficient. They probably carry the seal of Pharaoh with them.
Yes, sir.
Now, just consider this. How many wagons were there? They weren't meant for some. But here's the amazing thing. Did you happen to read these names and then Ur and Onan possibly stand out? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. You know what Ur did? We don't know exactly what it was. The book of Genesis said he did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord and God killed him. Now, I can give you one of the reasons why it doesn't tell us exactly what he did. So if we are so depraved and self-centered, we'd say, at least I ain't done that.
Exactly. You're right.
We'd try to avoid that one at least more than any other one. We'd say, well, this sin might not be. That's the one that's going to get you right there. See what Ur did? No, it just said he did evil in the sight of the Lord and God killed him. Joe, he didn't get to go down into Egypt. There's a brother here named Onan. Now, you remember what Onan did? I'm going to just say it and then drop it. He spilt his seed on the ground. And it displeased God. God killed him. You know what it was. Now, remember who Aaron Onan's daddy was, don't you? J-U-D-A-H. The line through which Jesus Christ of Nazareth would come into this world.
Yes, sir.
And in that day, there was a practice that if a man was married to a woman and he died, if there was a living brother of that man took that woman to wife to bring forth seed. What? It was an expectation of the promise of the Messiah. The seed must go on.
Amen.
Messiah must come. Now, God still brought the Messiah in, even when Onan did what he did. But you know what God did because of that? What he was doing? He was mocking the messianic authority and claim of Jesus Christ. God killed that boy.
Yes, he did.
And we might say, well, at least I ain't never done something like that. But think about it. Now, did you read the names and consider the names? Wait a minute. Judah and Tamar were in this whole mix.
Yes, sir.
Judah, the dad of all these boys, Er, Onan, all these others, should have made sure that the practice was followed. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he didn't. Yeah. Tamar knew better than him. But you know what she did? Now, come on now. I'm just being honest with you what this book says. She played the whore.
That's what it says.
enticed her daddy for a trinket and got her daddy-in-law, I'm sorry, by a trinket and was made pregnant by him. Guess who's in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ?
That's exactly right.
Come on now. Yeah. Who was in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. A woman named Tamar.
Amen.
But now God killed two and spared two others. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yes, sir.
And all were guilty.
That's right.
Do you hear what I said? All were guilty. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, what is that then? That's called grace.
Amen.
Nobody deserved to live.
Exactly.
But God spared two and killed two others.
Amen.
That's called grace.
Amen.
Now somebody said, I ain't never heard grace explained that way. Then you ain't never heard grace explained.
Amen.
The wagons weren't meant for some. You see, think about it. Man's sin shuts man out.
Yeah.
Man's sin shuts man out.
Exactly.
Now listen to me. It is not rejecting some offer of salvation from Christ for which men are condemned. Did you know that? But you know that's what's mostly preached today?
Yeah. You're right.
Christ died to save you and He offers you that salvation. Now if you reject Him, you'll go to hell. Is that not what's preached? Am I lying about what people out here preach everywhere? That's what they're preaching. Men do not go to hell for rejecting some offer of salvation by Jesus Christ. Men go to hell because they reject that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
And to believe that He's the Christ says this, He came to do the Father's will.
Amen.
And He did it.
Yes.
He didn't try to do it. He didn't try to make it possible for it to be done. He came and did the will of His Father's.
Amen.
Of His Father. You see, grace includes some sinners and it shuts some out. And that's not, Mason, that's not unfair. That's called mercy and grace.
Amen.
For some and justice for others.
Amen.
And that's God's business. That's why it's called grace.
Amen.
That's why it's called grace. Again, how many wagons were there?
Enough.
Enough.
Amen.
Now I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 13. We're going to look at enough. Acts chapter 13. The Apostle Paul with his party came into Antioch of Pisidia in Acts 13. We're told that in verse 14. And I will hit some highlights here. And they go into the Jewish synagogue. And the law is read. The prophets are read. It's the Sabbath day. And after that, the law and the prophets were read. The ruler said, "Ye men and brethren, do you have any other word of exhortation to save the people?" Then Paul stood up and said, "Listen to me." That's what he said, beckoning with his hand.
Yeah.
Everybody hold up. Listen to me. Boy, didn't that sound awful bold. Paul knew his sufficiency was not of himself.
Exactly.
His sufficiency was of God.
Amen.
It was the message that held sway with Paul, not Paul himself.
Exactly.
And that's something us pastors and preachers battle with every day. As a side note, when you tell me, "Oh, I love that message," but it helps, it does. Believe you me. But also know that scares me to death. Because I don't want your eyes to be on me.
Exactly.
But I like it when your eyes are on me.
Yeah.
Ever been there?
Oh, yeah.
Ever been there? But here's the thing. Just a couple highlights. Paul begins, not as preachers do today. Look, I want you to, later on, go back and read this whole account of this. We actually have here a recorded message of the Apostle Paul in a synagogue of Antioch in Pisidia.
Yes, sir.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Just like I used to read Spurgeon's messages, wrote down.
Yeah.
And Joe would give me this one, and here it is, and make copies of it. Mac, I was reading Spurgeon's very message. Right here it is. Now I want you to read through this message and see how different it is from the way men preach today.
Amen.
Today they get up, and as Earl used to say, they preach more against a pack of cigarettes and a can of beer than they do preaching for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he was just barely scratching a couple of things. You understand what he was talking about? Do you see what I'm saying to you? There are men that get up today and they start preaching against sins.
Yeah, there you go.
Right?
Yeah.
You say, preacher, ain't that what you're supposed to be, do? To a degree, yes.
Yeah.
Sins should be named.
Yes, sir.
They should be called out for what they are. But our problem's not just our sins, it's our sin. It's us. And that's what Paul says in verse 18. He talked about our fathers in the past, and he said, and about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness.
That's right.
He didn't have to start naming details. God had to put up with us.
Exactly.
Do you see that? Mason, that lets me know God's ire was on us.
Yeah.
He suffered this. You know another thing he did? He preached down man's will.
Yes, sir.
You know what a man do today? They preach up man's will. They even call it free will. They say that's your ticket to heaven.
Mm.
Now, do they not? Am I lying on them?
Oh, that's no truth.
Free will is your ticket to heaven. You use it to make what Jesus did effectual. You'll be in good shape. What did Paul say? You know what the people did? You know what our fathers did? They made their own choice. They exercised their will. Look at it sometime.
Yeah.
They chose Saul.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Look at the way he preached. He preached against man's choice. Look what man's choice gets you. It gets you a Saul.
Yeah, there you go.
God removed him.
Yeah.
And God raised up a man of his own choice.
Yeah.
Huh? You see how different his preaching is than preaching today?
Yeah.
Hmm? You know who that man was? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know what he preached? You know, all the other messages that are recorded in the book of the Acts are all consistent with this theme. Go back and look at it. They're all consistent with this theme. And that's why we just keep hammering on, as someone said, ruin by the fall, redemption, ruin by the fall, regeneration by the Spirit, and redemption by the blood.
Amen.
That's what every message must entail, or it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just a religious message. And then look at what he says. Verse 38, he is summing up. And this message evidently didn't last long. It didn't last. Now, Mason, maybe there were other things he said that were not pertinent for it. I don't know. But here's what was important. Important enough for Luke to be moved by the Spirit of God to write it down. And look at what he says in verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren.
Amen.
Now, who is this really for? Well, he's already said over here, those of you that are of Israel and fear God.
Amen.
He said, this is who this message is for. Now you go back and read it. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, not offered.
Exactly.
Somebody says, well, why does it really matter how you say it? It matters all in the world. It's the difference between the gospel of Christ and a perversion of the gospel of Christ.
Yes, sir.
We are preaching that Jesus Christ wrought forgiveness when he died on that tree. And that's what the New Testament teaches. When you get to the doctrine, the nuts and bolts of the gospel, in the epistles, you find out this is what is taught. That through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And look, and by him, all that believe. He didn't just say, and by believing.
Exactly.
You see, faith is not your justifier. Christ is your justifier.
Amen.
Faith is the means, the tool God uses to join you to that justification.
Yes, sir.
And that's what that's what the New Testament epistles teach.
Exactly.
But here's Paul not trying to be doctrinally, oh, if I had to show him how much doctrine I know. That's what it was about when you go into a place, never heard the gospel before. You don't have to deal with all the bolts and nuts of the thing. Just preach Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And look what he says. And by him, all that believe. And we can say it because what he says next, and nobody else. And nobody else.
That's right.
And all that believe are justified from all things by which you could not be justified by the law of Moses.
Amen.
And then he says, but let me tell you, this ain't for everybody.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Beware. Now, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Beware. Therefore, I want to say therefore, because this is evident to Paul. Salvation was purposed by God for believers only.
Yes, sir.
The wagons are intended to take a specific number to glory, and they will take that specific number to glory.
Amen.
Go back and look at Romans 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Huh? Whom he did foreknow? He also did predestinate. And whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
Amen.
And them he called, them he also justified. There's no break in this number of people. Mason, we're not told the exact number, but we're told how many there were, all of these. Foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, glorified. These are the ones for whom Christ died, Paul said.
Amen.
And these are the ones for whom he intercedes. And he says, behold, ye despisers, or beware. Therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I will work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you.
Amen.
You see that? Isn't that amazing? Why don't more men preach like that today? I'll tell you why. Because they think, or their message is different than Paul's. That's why. And they think their message is better than Paul's. There's no better way to deliver the gospel than that right there we've just read.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's a sound gospel preaching evangelical message.
Amen.
Is it not? Yes. Right there. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, here's the glorious thing. There must have been some people listening in.
Hey-o.
Maybe there were some Gentile proselytes that were allowed to come into the synagogue. This did happen. But look, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them. And what did they say? Gotta have it right now. We might die and go to hell tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is that what they said? Is that what Paul did? No, the next Sabbath.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something, folks. The wagons are going to reach Canaan.
Amen.
They're going to load up everybody. And the wagons will make it all the way back to Egypt and settle in the Goshen land.
Amen.
Do you hear what I'm saying? That's the gospel.
Yes, sir.
That's how many wagons there were. Enough.
Amen.
And that's enough right there.
Yeah.
You see, only pride or entitlement demands a universal love of God for all men without exception and a universal offer of salvation to all men without exception. You either believe you're proud, you think you deserve it, or you're entitled to it. And listen, we don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve Christ's redemption. Therefore, if God doesn't give it to me, I have no reason to complain. I deserve hell.
Yes, sir.
Now, do you hear me? I deserve hell. If God keeps it from me, Mac, I'll get what I deserve. And I'll not have one just word to say against God. But if He saves me.
Amen.
If He saves me. Oh, what an act a free, reigning grace.
Amen.
There's an exact number, folks.
Right.
And we don't have to be told their number, just that they're our one. That's all it is.
That's right.
I don't have to know the number. Well, how do you know you're a part of that? Has He called you?
There you go. That's it.
Has He called you by His God? Does this gospel ring true to your soul?
There you go.
And you say, I've got to be a part of that one way or another. I gotta rejoice. I gotta rejoice in that. I can't help but believe that.
Amen.
God, in spite of myself, in spite of my failures, in spite of my sinfulness and my corruption, even yet today, not back yonder before He saved me, but even after He saved me, because I still need saving today.
Amen.
Mac, I need as much saving today as I did 34 years ago,
exactly.
When the gospel first came to me, my eyes were open to it. I need that salvation just as much today as I did back then.
Amen.
And even when I die in faith, I'll still need that salvation.
Yes, sir.
Do I believe God?
Amen.
Do I believe He has done and is doing in His Son enough?
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something. He's done way more than enough.
Amen.
But all you need is how much? Enough.
Yeah.
Enough.
John,
somebody said, I told you, I'm a universalist. I told you, if I can't beat them at their own game, I'll just confound the devil out of them while we're playing the game. I'm a universalist. You know that? I believe God is going to save all.
Amen.
Well, this is what Christ said. Here's John 6. This is what He says. I believe Jesus Christ is going to save all.
Yes, sir.
He said these words, John 6:44, no man can come unto me. We can't do it.
Amen.
He can't do it. That's a total lack of ability. It ain't because God shuts men out. He's not talking about God shutting men out. He's talking about what man is by nature.
Yeah.
No man can come unto me, but here's the word of grace. Except.
Amen.
Except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now if he draws him, he can come.
Yes,
he can come. Listen, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen.
It is written, and even the Lord of glory, he was God.
Yes, sir.
What he said was God's word, but he reverted back to what?
The scripture.
The scripture.
Yes, sir.
That's what we deal with, is the scripture, or you don't deal with God at all.
Amen.
Other than in judgment. Amen. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Who? All of these people.
Yes, sir.
That are drawn by God. You
Amen.
See it? I'm a universalist. I believe every one of that 70-some folks, whatever they were, 70, whatever they were. Mason, I believe they were all going to the prom, or going down to Egypt, don't you? Every last one of them. And they shall all, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father, what's he do?
Yeah.
What's he going to do? Yeah. Now, these are Christ's words. I believe him before I believe any preacher, even myself.
Yes, sir.
You hear what I said? Even myself. God Almighty teaches you, what are you going to do? You will come to Christ.
Amen.
And you ain't going to be able to help it.
Exactly.
But you'll be glad it's so.
Amen.
Oh, Father, comfort us by these things. Make it that when we see the wagons, our spirits are revived within us. For Christ's name, amen. Thank you, Joe.